The second intercontinental encounter for humanity against neoliberalism concluded in Andalusia on August 2nd, following a week of discussions in five parts of Spain with the participation of nearly 4,000 delegates from all over the world, including two representatives from the indigenous bases of support of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. More than 2,000 people participated in the closing ceremony in Andalusia and approved by unanimous vote a final declaration which demanded the demilitarization of Chiapas and other indigenous regions of Mexico, the immediate approval of the San Andreas Accords by the Mexican Congress, and called for October 10th to be a worldwide day of resistance and struggle in support of the Zapatistas. The multilingual closing act, nearly 10 hours long in 100-degree weather, primarily summing up the conclusions of the various working groups, did not specify when or where the next intercontinental encounter will be held, although many delegates supported the idea of bringing it back to Mexico next year, while another strong suggestion was for it to be hosted by the landless movement in Brazil. Once the conclusions had been read from the various working groups, Zapatista Army delegates Delia and Felipe were asked to speak. "I feel happy knowing that we, the Zapatistas, have a home here in Europe," said Delia. "I want to say to you, compañeros, that you also have a home in our communities. With your effort, compañeros," she added, "we see that we are not alone. Neither are you alone. We have the heart of the indigenous Mexicans. You can feel content and tranquil because together we are well. We will continue to struggle for a new world. We want to ask you to continue firm and to struggle together. We see that you and we suffer from the same rulers who exist in the world. Our struggle of all of you, women and men of the world, will be victorious," she concluded. "To the Andalusian compañeros," added Felipe, "we want to thank you for the example you have given us. You tell us that you prefer to be poor but free and to not lose the dignity of human beings. That is why today we tell you, brothers and sisters, continue resisting as we do, because the future of us all is to triumph." The organizers of the event also issued a press statement on the final day of the encounter in which they signaled that "we must not forget that we can only face the strength and cruelty of the neoliberal enemy with the coordination of all of our efforts."
Zapatistas will come to Mexico City in September for the founding of the FCLN. In two communiques dated August 8th but not published until August 11th and 12th, Subcomandante Insurgente Marcos announced the convocation to the founding Congress of the Zapatista Front of National Liberation, FCLN, and added that 1,111 indigenous Zapatistas will march to Mexico City in order to attend the Congress as observers, as well as to demand the immediate implementation of the San Andreas Accords on indigenous rights and culture in front of the newly elected national legislature. The Congress is scheduled to be held in Mexico City from the 13th to the 16th of September, culminating on Mexican Independence Day, and will decide the statutes, principles, organizing structure, and plan of action for the nascent Zapatista Front, which until now has been made up of hundreds of interim promotional committees and civilian committees of dialogue across the country. "We are going to Mexico City," said Marcos, "in order to be direct witnesses to the formal birth of a new political force, the Zapatista Front of National Liberation." One of the activities of the Zapatistas in Mexico City, he added, referring to the march to the capital, will be to attend the Congress of the FCLN, will be 1,111 observers who represent the indigenous rebel peoples, the bases of support of the EZLN. "For the Zapatistas," he continued, "the birth of the FCLN represents the hope of a better tomorrow, and we want to be alongside our brothers and sisters of the front in taking this step." The following are important excerpts from this communique in which Marcos explains the EZLN's position regarding the new democracy in Mexico. 3 years ago, on August 8, 1994, we said at the National Democratic Convention, "Struggle, struggle without rest, struggle and defeat the government, struggle and defeat war, struggle and defeat us, for never will defeat be so pleasant as when the peaceful transition to democracy, liberty, and justice is the winner." Today, we continue to think the same thing. Our aspiration continues to be that of soldiers who fight so that one day soldiers will not be necessary. Our dream is to make our weapons useless, that is, to contribute to the construction of a country where one can struggle in equality, justice, liberty, and democracy without any other weapons other than ideas, words, and honest and consecutive praxis. Do we now live in a country with these conditions? We do not think so. What happened on July 6, 1997 will only represent a real triumph when all Mexicans across the country can struggle via peaceful and civilian means with equal opportunities and do not have to resort to violence in order to make their rights respected or just in order to have their voice heard. In response to the question of if we now live in a transition to democracy, Ernesto Zedillo has hurried to respond. Nothing will make us change the economic model we have imposed on the country, which is another way of saying democracy is welcome as long as it does not affect the fundamental aspects of national life. We are prepared to demonstrate our will to discuss the conditions of surrender of the Zapatistas. We will continue to deny the existence of the EPR and to attack those suspected of supporting them. We will continue being prepared to pretend that we are honoring our commitments while not honoring them. We will continue to do everything possible to incorporate the indigenous peoples into modernity, which is another way of saying to eliminate them. In the center of the now quite congested political center, the center, which is now encrusted in political parties while managing to take off as an autonomous political force, offers readings, consequences, and recipes. Now, the fashion among this political class has become that of cleaning the ladders from top to bottom, and that the transformation of Mexico to a country of democracy, liberty, and justice will be operated for the power. To the dispossessed, they say the only thing we can do is wait for the broom to make it to the bottom. We shouldn't move, they say. We must remain quiet. This always opportunistic political center is convinced that the great evils of Mexico come from the top, and in this they are not wrong, but that great goods must also come from the top. It thinks that democracy, by the sheer force of entering into the heads and hearts of the business leaders and those who govern, will obligate them to be good and honorable. For the center, the forces which have served those who impose the current nightmare on us will now serve the people. The centrists think that democracy can be supported by the same political class that has built itself up in the symbol which the citizens rejected, and, at least by those who were able to do so, repudiated with votes that said no by crossing another emblem that was not that of the institutional revolution. The center forgets that today's change came from below. With the same logic, the center demands us, to sign a quick peace and rapid conversion into an institutional political force, that is, to convert us into one more piece of the machinery of power. To them, we respond no, and they do not understand it. They don't understand that we are not in agreement with those ideas. They don't understand that we have no desire for posts or positions within the government. They don't understand that we struggle not for the ladder to be cleaned from top to bottom, but rather so that the ladder doesn't exist, so that there is no kingdom of any kind. They don't understand that we do not want a peace which means renaming of slavery and misery, another form to say death more softly. They don't understand that the peace they announce, the peace of those on top, is only a guarantee for the powerful and a condemnation for those below.